Hey guys, it's Tom here. Just wanted to let you know that we have a Patreon you can get on for $3 a month and you get bonus episodes every week. And if you sign up for the whole year, you get a 10% discount. That's $2.70 a month, I believe. And we also have a tier where you can be a guest on the Patreon show. You could pick a band yourself to defend and do it on the Patreon. So get on over there. It's patreon.com/standbyyourband. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band. I'm Tom Takara, the Wolf of Dog Street, joined, as always, by the Prince of Snarkness himself, Tommy McNamara. How are you, Tommy?
I'm doing very well. I went to the barber shop today. I shaved my face, got the spring look, spring optimism, feeling good.
Looking good. You're looking like a fresh-faced baby. Is that so you can sneak into schools, you sick fuck?
So yeah, I go to the barbershop. I show the guy just a picture of whatever infant is in the news that day. And I go, this is it. This is what I want.
We got a great guest today, and I want to get her into the mix right off the bat because I gotta tell you guys what I'm doing, but Shalewa the sharpshooter sharp is here, picking them off one at a time.
Wow, okay, that is literally a first.
Is that true?
That is true.
I thought for sure that would be hacky as hell.
Nope, not at all. I don't think anyone said that yet. That's
Shalewa
impressive.
The sharpshooter sharp, she don't miss.
That's wild. Hello, everyone.
That is crazy.
How are y'all?
Oh, I'm good. So I'm out. I'm living the farm life. I'm at an Airbnb on a farm.
Wow.
I've been hanging out with chickens and sheep. It feels like being in New York City. Am I right? all the chickens and sheep dumbocrats that voted for Biden. Mm. JK, we support Joe.
Oh, I thought you were going to say we support chickens.
We do support chickens.
We do, up to a point. Up to a point, we do.
Up to a point, for sure. It's weird. I didn't realize that chicken, they'll just, like, they run around and, like, come hang out with you. Like, they take food out of our hands like cats or something. It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't even think cats will take food.
Yeah,
my cat
actually,
won't. Yeah,
that's a good point. You got to lay it on the ground and then walk 10 feet away.
Yes, yes. Hands up. But yeah, I guess chickens are actually kind of friendly, which makes it a little bit tougher to eat them.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
A little,
for sure.
But only a little.
Only a little. That is funny because the goats are not that nice. They immediately try to assert dominance, and but they have a smile on their face while they ram you, and
right.
That also makes
it easier to eat them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We'll figure out a way to eat you. Sorry, animals.
That new crispy goat sandwich from McDonald's. It's unbelievable.
You kid, but I bet in the Caribbean that is literally a sandwich. Curry goat is actually, I mean, you know, it's a little chewy, but.
Tom, so you're doing a reboot of The Simple Life with Paris
Hilton, right?
Is that what's going on at that farm?
Mm-hmm. I have a kissing booth set up where I also go from town to town making a young boy fall in love with me and then I break his heart. We watched The Simple Life like 6 months ago or maybe less. It was during quarantine, so none of this time is real. But we watched it, and I was like, it's so weird that they're doing this. And then everybody's mad at them in the town, and it's like, it was very kooky. What a show.
Yeah, what a time. It was really odd. I can't believe that they okayed it. I'm like, so you're just going to let these people come in and tear your shit up because they got short skirts on? And they're like, yeah, I guess. They say they're rich. So...
It is our belief they're rich, and of course, being in contact with a rich person makes you rich.
Yeah, so I guess that's what I'll do.
It is crazy. I'm out here. I'm waking up early. I'm waking up at the crack at 9:47 every day. It's I'm doing it. I'm living the farm boy life.
Is it a rooster alarm going?
There is a rooster, but the rooster is all over the place. Everybody thinks the rooster is like a thing where it's like early morning, but the rooster just throughout the day is like, yeah, what, fuck you. Like, he's just mad. And it's weird. It's like a cult that these chickens are in because the rooster's the only guy here. It's like the Nexium cult where he's the only one around, so they all think he's really cool. It's,
yeah.
He ain't shit, though.
Yeah, it's all chickens. That's what you call ladies birds. They don't know. Uh-huh. We are stupid. If you have on a fancy red hat and you're the only one around, we trying to get to that red hat. We know nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why women love Donald Trump. Love that fancy red hat.
Absolutely, absolutely. He did his research. He figured it out.
What's funny is he didn't even get a fancy red hat. He got the most basic red hat you could get. He could have done like something cool with it. He didn't do anything.
Yeah,
crazy.
No, very. But then again, I'm not really looking to Trump for being like a hype beast. I guess.
Right, right.
I don't know.
He should have done it in the Supreme font. And then... but enough about Tommy's favorite guy. We should.
God damn it.
We are going to talk today about a band that I had never heard of before this, before you sent it over. Mm-hmm. So I thought it'd be perfect. As you guys can guess, this is another underappreciated episode as opposed to a band that everyone hates. And I think I don't want to get ahead. I don't want to get ahead of what we're going to do with it because I had never heard of the band. They are called Stereolab. And yep. Tommy, had you heard of this band?
No, and I will say my naivete went so far as to when I started listening to the playlist before I started doing any research, and I literally thought they were from the 60s when I started listening. I was like, oh, cool, this is some old stuff. And then I was like, oh, no, it's the 90s. Okay, yeah. I'm thoroughly embarrassed.
So it's so weird because when I started listening to the playlist, I recognized two or three of the songs, mm-hmm. and I don't even know where from, and then somebody else... We'll get to it there, whoever did it, but somebody pointed out that they were on the soundtrack of High Fidelity, which was my favorite book for a long time, and I loved the movie, and I was like, that must be where I recognize that song. But then there's another song on your playlist that I love that I just heard somewhere, and I could swear it was like at a, like on a movie or something, but then I was like, maybe it was at a party. Like maybe it was, I've been going to these warehouse no mask parties.
Right. Yeah. 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 Very big with Stereolab people.
And so while we're coughing along to the music, but I know I heard this song somewhere. I want to go ahead and start playing some of the music right off the bat because
okay.
I do think from judging by the response we got in the Facebook and the Twitter and stuff, mm-hmm. I think a lot of people were in the same boat as us where they might have heard these songs or maybe not, or right. Just missed this band completely. And I don't know how. I don't know how I didn't know who they were, because I really loved the like the song that I'm talking about. I was like, oh, I thought that song was so cool, and I never thought to look up what it was from. And if you don't mind us going out of order from what the thing
absolutely.
Was,
go right ahead.
The song I recognized immediately was Metronomic Underground.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And so I'll play a little bit of that here. I have no idea where I heard that, but I know I heard it recently.
I tried to pick songs that I knew in some way you might have come possibly have come across, but had no idea how. Like, that one, I'm trying to think of where that could have been played. It probably would have been in a movie. I could see that ending up somewhere in a movie, but that's like, that is their, I mean, that's just their biggest jam, I think. Like, that's, I think when they play it live, they play it a little bit faster. The whole thing with Stereolab is that they've gone through quite a few phases, but they started off like, they started in the 90s. And one thing about the 90s is that people were very, one thing about decades in general is that people tend to be obsessed with something 20 years earlier. So because I mean, I remember I was a teenager in the 80s and then we were all about the 60s, like Peace Signs and the Monkees got back together. And in the 70s, when I was a kid, they were obsessed with the 50s. So that was like American Graffiti and Happy Days, Grease and all of that shit. So like the 90s had like a serious 70s moment, but then they also picked up the 50s part of the 70s, but like as in we are closer to the future. So everything in the 90s was like the future is in the year 2000 and here's what they said in the 50s the future would look like. So everything is all weird 60s and 50s like bloops and bleeps and stuff like that. And so Stereolab like came from like they were doing stuff that like folks in the 70s were doing, like krautrock and like can and just like this driving kind of music. And then they had female vocals over it and they had two like singers who were just singing like this pretty stuff over this like constantly droning driving thing. And then from there they kind of like at some point there they got funky. I was like, who played them a funk? I remember like putting that on and I'm like, okay, who told them about hip hop? What is this? And so that was like their jam, which is wild because when you go to shows, it's just like white people trying their best to like really like get into it. And I'm just like, it's okay, just let it ride you. Like you don't have to just let it go. It's a groove, it's a mood, it's whatever, you know. But yeah, so some of their stuff is like Tommy, you're right in hearing like 60s stuff because some of it is very, you know, they put out an album or something called Space Age Bachelor Pad Music. And there was a lot of space age stuff, like all their song titles are just words that are crammed together that are just different kinds of machinery that are just like, I'm like, what is this? And, you know, half the group was English, but the other half was French. And I'm like, I don't understand any of it, but I absolutely love it. Yeah, so that's what that was. That's like their funk song. That's like their Parliament Funkadelic period right there. Yeah.
It's so funny. I'd never heard the term krautrock until like 3 weeks ago. We did a Kraftwerk episode and I kept reading the word and then I started like, oh my God, krautrock is everywhere in the Stand By Your Band universe right now.
Yeah, definitely. Oh my good. Kraftwerk. Boy, that's a big one. Yeah. But,
It's funny. Yeah. Because it's like a mixture of English and French people playing German
stuff. Yeah, absolutely. And then like, and Can, I don't even know where the band Can came from originally. Cause when I look at the picture, I'm like, I can't place any of you people, but, it was the same kind of like, weird, like kind of driving, very like forward momentum in the music. And so this was just that, but with, you know, pretty vocals on top of it. So, you know, that's how you get the girls in. You throw a couple of ba-ba-bas on the top of it and it's in French and so every girl thinks French is something and so
Shalewa, you are describing me to a T right now. That is how you get me in, because I heard this and I was like, I don't know how I've been missing this band my whole
life.
So you throw
great.
Some French babbling
lady
over it. It's for me.
Literally, I think it's like your timing on this was perfect because it sounds like the music kind of sounds like being outside or springy or a little bit and like all elements of spring, like some sound like allergy attacks and some music like sounds like dark and some, but not just spring, like spring in a particular car when you're in your early 20s and you and one buddy's like riding around with windows down. Like it's a very specific feeling. And that's kind of what like it does. But then some of it, like there was one song I didn't put on there from their Dots and Loops album that's from like a Volkswagen commercial that people hear it and they're like, oh, I've heard that in a commercial. Another one MTV fucking loved and played. I think I put that one on Ping Pong. MTV played the hell out of that for years.
Yeah. There was another one that came on that must have been the Volkswagen one maybe because it came on right after this playlist. We just kept it going. And we were driving like around in spring.
Right.
We went for a hike and we were listening to this and it was perfect. You nailed it. So maybe it, like all the elements aligned where I was like, I'm going to listen to this band a ton from now on. Yeah, like, I love it so much.
It's a lot. There's a lot of stereo.
But there was a song that came on right after that. My fiance was like, I know this song. I didn't know what it
was.
This was not on the playlist. But it was the same band, but it came on like three songs after the playlist because we just let it roll. Yeah, it was great. But the last one. Should we play it
yeah,
as we
play
go?
That. Yeah.
So the last one here is Cellulose Sunshine. We all know what that means.
Yeah, you know. You know how that goes.
All right, here's Cellulose Sunshine.
It's just very pretty stuff. That one, like the whole thing, I think that's from the era of Stereolab where they got a little jazzy. They were coming out of their jazzy mode. So like first they're droney and a little loud, and then they're very pretty and French poppy, and then they're funky. And then they got a little dark because they lost one of their members, one of the singers, Mary, died.
Mary, bicycle accident.
Yeah, terrible.
Oh, wow. And they, the two like main founders, the couple broke up also.
Right.
They had a kid, and they, I think it was right before the bicycle accident, they separated romantically and then stayed together as a band. So.
Yeah, I mean, the Stereolab machine was just too big at that point. Like, yeah, I don't love you anymore. We have a child, but we gotta keep it. We gotta keep it going. These women
that
out
is
here.
Crazy.
So then it got a little dark, but then it also got like a little jazzier. And so that was kind of interesting too. And then they threw some strings in there, and it's just, they take you on a journey where it all makes sense. But if you listen to it separately, you're like, oh, this is somehow drastically different than what they were doing at this point. And I kind of can't believe it's the same band, but it also completely makes sense that it's this band. They broke up for a while, and when they did, they were like, yeah, we're gonna call it quits. And I feel like all the fans were like, yeah, y'all go on and rest. Like, you don't have to, it's okay.
Yeah, who like has a member die, goes through a divorce, and then they were together for another 9 years or something, or like, maybe it was like 7 more years.
It was still a long time.
It was a long time. They
kept putting out so many albums. It was like, okay, y'all, go ahead and sit down.
And to not, like that much fame either. That's
right.
The craziest thing is it's not like they, people were like, we gotta get Stereolab on this thing. They were like, they ran into a thing where they were had more demand for records than they could afford to make or something. I think I read.
Right. Yeah.
They were trying so hard to avoid some sort of superstardom because they, I was reading a thing where they were talking about the fame of like the Cranberries and the how you can go from obscurity to fame in a heartbeat, and that scared them.
Yeah.
And I wonder how much that's true and how much of it's revisionist, like that's why we didn't blow up. But I mean, maybe it really is a thing where they didn't, they just didn't want that sort of shit. They just wanted to make music.
Yeah, I got the sense that they weren't necessarily trying to get huge, you know, but also that may be why they changed their sound so much. I mean, it was gradual if you were like really into it, but if you were just like, oh, let me just check out this record, it's been a while, you're like, holy crap, what happened to what I remembered from before? But I wonder, because that could also make sense to like just be like, oh yeah, you like that, well guess what, we're doing this now.
And it's
like,
yeah, I mean that's okay. Radiohead shit.
Yeah, right, exactly. So,
oh, you like that? Well, fuck you. We hate it now, and you're stupid for liking it.
And they also, they were pretty, I think, political in their music.
Yeah.
But I also didn't want to press the politics part because I'm like, I really like this band. If they say something sideways, I'm going to be upset. So once Letitia starts talking, I'm like, I'm not listening.
Well, I
to
think
you.
They were like, they're super like Marxist or something.
Yeah,
like that, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, like, and they have like, there are lyrics and songs. I may have sent you the one where the lyrics are just like, you go on that team, I go on this team. But like, there are some things that are just like, so I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, oh, we're singing about politics, aren't we?
This is one politics? Of those bands where, and I talk about loving lyrics on the show all the time, but this is a band where it's like this, the voices are just really pretty, and I don't care what they're saying.
Right,
I don't know what they're saying at all.
Yeah,
I did not understand almost any lyrics except for like, don't worry, be happy.
Right, yeah. I was like, well, I don't hear the N-word, so I think I'm clear. They're fine with me. I know what it would sound like in French. I took French. So.
Well, it's the jazz. It's the N-words you're not hearing. That are important.
Yeah, there's nothing implied anyway, but yeah. So I could see why they would be, because there were, I mean, in the 90s, they were chewing up bands with a female singer and spitting them out. There were so many that, you know, like they had a couple of hits and then there was just like, we're not, who cares anymore?
Yeah.
So, you know, the Cranberries managed to ride like two albums off of that. But then after that, you don't hear anything. The Sundays had like their very first album was fucking amazing, and the second one they're like, we'll do a cover of Wild Horses and then we'll just keep it moving, we're not paying attention to you anymore. Oh yeah. That's a good one. Reading, Writing, and Arithmetic, I think, is the name of their first album. When you listen to it, you're gonna go, oh shit, I know like half of these songs because they've been in plenty of movies. But there were also like that whole scene of just like kind of jazzy 60s influence. You know, like not necessarily hand in hand with the swing. I think in America it ended up being like the swing movement in the 90s.
Cherry Pop and Daddies. Yeah. Covered on this show.
It was very, it got kind of ugly in that way, but, which is, you know, hard to say because honestly, it was hard for me to choose for this show to do a band that hardly anyone knew, Stereolab, or one that I thought I needed to defend, which would have been Squirrel Nut Zippers. So, like, I am familiar with a big bad voodoo daddy. I know my way around one. But like, there was like just kind of
that sentence has ever been said ever. I know my way around.
But like, there was off to the side, like the indie version of that would have been like the more the 60s, like Esquivel or Martin Denny, or like the kind of exotica kind of music, like the opening of Pee Wee's Playhouse. If you can think of that theme where it just sounds all Hawaiian and stuff, like that sound, but then filtered through, not, and then like girl vocals filtered through like 90s, whatever. So there were a lot of there are quite a few bands that kind of did that. Like Broadcast is another band that sounds a lot like Stereolab in the same way. Mm-hmm. There's a band called Kamita that was a little bit jazzier, but also had like, you know, a girl voice. So it was, there were a lot of bands that were kind of doing that off to the side, but mm-hmm. it was hard to like market them because they're not doing swing. Right. And they're not, the women don't seem to be angry at an ex-boyfriend. So I don't really know how to sell this to people. And they're not outwardly weird like Bjork. So I don't really know what to do. So then it was just like, a bunch of us girls in thrift store dresses and lunchbox purses out here like, we support you. We don't know what you're saying, but we'll support you.
So did you did go see them before? Or,
oh, Stereolab?
Yeah.
A lot.
A lot? Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Probably one of the bands I may have seen the most. And
oh, wow.
In 2019, I think they started, they were like...
They're touring again.
Yeah, they tour. And so they played in New York twice, and I went both nights.
That's awesome. I am not kidding. If they tour in New York during, like, in 2022 or late 2021, I will for sure go. Because yeah, I, like, was all fun. In on this. Speaking of people who have gone to see them live, we mm-hmm. have a regular segment to get to, which is we go to our friend and foe of the show, Jared Thompson.
Oh, right. Okay.
The owner of the Comedy Attic in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana, who likes to give his little opinions and thoughts on each band we do, and he's usually very critical. Uh-huh. But these bands that are underrated, he's been having a lot of fun with, and he definitely had some thoughts on Stereolab. And when I asked him, he said, I saw them live several times. So here are Jared's thoughts on Stereolab.
What's up, y'all? It's this week's Jay Went to Jared. The boys are going to have a guest on defending Stereolab. This is actually really interesting because I was actually able in the 90s to see Stereolab a couple times. And admittedly, even after seeing them, I never bought any of their albums. But they absolutely are the type of band that we can put them as about as far ahead of their time as any band I can think of. And that actually is personified in two ways. One was that, you know, they were too ahead of their time for me, even when I was listening to bands that, you know, were certainly sort of, you know, popular at that time. But in both cases, when I saw them live, I went to see another band on the bill, and they just happened to also be on the bill. And, you know, they were just so far ahead of their time. And the other thing is, it's a perfect example of this band is, and I'm sure by the time you guys read the comments, there's going to be some on there, but Tom posted that he wanted to talk, that does anyone want to talk about Stereolab on Facebook? And so far there was no comments, and that's just exactly right. Like, they're just not known the way that they should be. So having said that, I have gone back and listened to them sort of, you know, as in my older age, and they absolutely were great, and they just didn't have an audience really that understood what they wanted to do at the time. And I'm sure that if they were currently a band, and you know, they may have done reunion shows or whatever, but if they were currently a band, they probably would be pretty big, because I think it's a little bit easier to swallow now for people. So this is going to be very interesting. Anyway, all right. I love you guys. I'll talk to you later. Thanks.
All right. Yeah. That's Jared.
There's something to that. The first time that I saw them live actually was before I realized I had heard anything. But the one Lollapalooza I went to, they were on the side stage. And I think that was like Lollapalooza 94. Mm-hmm. So that was like a friend of mine who is a big fan was just like, oh, you got to go see Stereolab. They're over on the side. And I'm like, all right, I guess so. And was completely blown away by him outside in the Georgia heat. Like,
yeah,
he made me listen
wild.
To you in the afternoon. like, and there's no cover over us. We're all dying. And and so
one of the few comments I read about them too is they're not a festival band. Like, they're not a band you want to see. Like, as part of a bill like that. You kind of got to see them at a venue.
Yeah, they are best like inside, because you know, it's just it's chill music, but it's not music that's going to make you fucking slam into someone next to you. You know what I mean?
I do think we should go and mosh there.
I mean, why not? I saw someone break their arm moshing at a Juliana Hatfield show, and I was like, what were you listening to? Do you have on headphones? Like, and so... But yeah, so they definitely like won me over in the heat. So they, I mean, the music, if you are in tune to it, it's just like, wow, that's great. But yeah, I think from the reunion shows that I went to, there were a lot of people and they weren't all old like me. So I'm like, okay, so I think through time, people have been like, oh, this is very interesting. And that's how like people are more into it now. But it wasn't just a room full of 50-year-olds just being like, I remember my youth or whatever.
With walkers that they don't need for some reason.
We just all have walkers.
Turn it down. I like it, but it's so loud.
What kind of venue are they playing in 2019? Like, where in New York would they play?
They played at, what's the one? It's in Brooklyn.
Is it Brooklyn Steel?
Brooklyn Steel.
Okay,
yeah.
I love that venue. Yeah.
So, and that's, I think, where all the good reunion shows are happening. That's where I saw the Breeders there.
I think Jawbreaker did one there too.
Yeah,
I think there's a lot of reunion shows.
So I mean, if anyone is coming back around again,
there we go.
Brooklyn Steel is going to be the spot.
Sick venue. I want to point out really quickly, I did not post on Facebook, does anyone want to talk about
Sad ass.
I've never ever, that would be so, anybody free to talk to me about Stereolab?
We're not doing a podcast.
Yeah, it's just, I'm just really lonely and want to talk about this obscure band.
Oh, because those are usually my Facebook statuses. Is anybody
free to talk? Anybody free to talk about the apples and stereo for a little while?
Exactly.
I was just thinking, maybe the resurgence people who like me who have who heard them in something, and I've been racking my brain this whole show trying to think of what I could have heard that song in, and I was like, maybe the only thing I've watched recently is Last Chance U Basketball, and it would be very strange.
that would be very strange. Yes, that would be odd. I mean, I would want to do that, but that's not what anyone would want to hear. You know what I mean? Like, no, Shaleva, we don't want that for basketball. So that's not what.
There should be a version of The Last Dance where they insert different types of 90s music into the dunk montages.
Yes,
it's like,
absolutely.
Yeah, you get that.
Yeah,
not everybody was 90s, experiencing it with this. Yeah.
Right, exactly. We weren't all watching. Can we with hole? Can I see them go to the hole with hole?
That would be honestly awesome.
Go to the hole with hole. It's just basketball highlights to hole. That's great. That's a YouTube channel. Call CJ Toledano. We gotta get this going. Let's hear some more songs because we got four more here and I cannot wait to hear them. Let's go in order for the rest of these. So the first one you sent us was Our Trinitone Blast.
Yes.
Again, just a great name. All right, so this is Our Trinitone Blast.
Thank you.
love that shit.
Yeah.
That could come out today, and I would be, that would not be surprised. Just, I think Jared was right about them being ahead of their time like that.
Just
so,
great,
it sounded so
fuzzy,
good.
Just fuzziness. And then that one is noteworthy because at the end, it's the most, it's truly the most freak out noise of Stereo Labs where it's just, she's just like, and you're like, wow, this isn't what I was expecting. And then on the record of that, then it just goes back into like easy listening stuff. It's very easy listening, which we all want to act like is not chill, but sometimes you're sometimes like, you know. Oh no, Perry Como's okay. You know what I mean? Like, what's wrong with Mel Torme? He's kind of funky. So yeah, yeah, for sure.
I love listening easy sometimes.
It's, I know.
It's, why is everything's got to be so hard? I really like that. Like I said, this is I cannot believe I did not know about this band before today. And I was doing research about them was kind of hard. We might be the first podcast that's ever talked about them because I was going to do a workout and I was like, I'll listen to a podcast about this band to kind of like get some more news on them. And I ended up listening to, it wasn't even like there was a one episode about them. The only thing you could find was in transcripts. There was like references to them. And I ended up listening to this podcast hosted by Ben from The Bachelor. And apparently they at some point in the episode referenced this band, but I didn't get to it.
So funny. Wow.
Very random. Yeah.
That's extremely
Ben and Ashley
random.
Or whatever.
Oh, man. I bet. If they knew about it, if the band knew about it, they'd be like, what? How do we
So weird. I was thinking about the people who would go to their concert now and who might have liked them because of their politics then and
right.
now. Like, because people's politics change a little bit and they're like, talk about George W. Bush.
Right? Yeah. I'm like, oh, we're light years away from that, my friend. Just enjoy the pretty vocals. Don't. Yeah.
The next song here is the song that was on the soundtrack of High Fidelity. I don't know the moment that it's in, but I did know that I had heard it before, and somebody else pointed out it's in High Fidelity. Great film. Here is Low Boob Oscillator.
La lune est libre, je crois, qui rayonne au-dessus. Rayonne au-dessus des toits, la lune est libre. Bien plus libre qu'on ne le croit. Elle fluctue de ça et là. Les parties qu'on ne voit pas. C'est pas grave, ça reviendra. Et quand elle est plongée dans la froide.
To what it evolved to. I love that song.
Yeah, that I totally remember when that happened in High Fidelity, because when High Fidelity came out, I was working in that indie record store at the time.
Oh,
so I was just like, me and my
right
coworkers
for you.
Were just like, this is you know, that kind of thing. And I saw that, and when it was towards the end of the movie where Rob meets the woman who's going to interview him, and she's like just gorgeous, just in that 90s way with short brown hair. That's what gorgeous was. And and so, like, she just comes in, and then, like, I'm sure there was a breeze, and then that song started, and I literally almost stood up like, yeah! Like, no one's reacted to Stereo Lab in that way, but I was like, damn right! You know?
Like the way people cheer in a Rocky movie.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I'm just standing on my chair, my hands above my head. Just
Stereo
like,
Lab.
Yeah, just, like, oh, boy. For something that's very sweet. You bet. Sing them harmonies, bitches. You know, just ridiculous. But, yeah, man, High Fidelity felt like it was, like, real and crucial. I was just like, our lives are like this, right? All of us at that store, yeah. We were very scared. We're like, is this us? Is this what we're like? And I'm like, yeah, actually, I think we are kind of.
Was
like
it
this.
Pretty accurate, you felt?
For the scenes in the store, yes, that was very, like, changing the mood by putting on a new song was, like, so pitch perfect. I've done that accidentally. I've seen others do it intentionally. Like, yeah, that's definitely what it was like in a crowded Saturday store. You could do that.
Hell yeah. I love to hear it. That seems like such a fun place to work. That's what Jared used to own, a record store. So that's when, like, you referenced in that, that's when he would go see all these bands.
Yeah. Yeah.
So fun. Let's go ahead and hear Ping Pong, which we referenced earlier. That one's so fun.
Yeah, that's some catchy man.
That is catchy shit. Non-stop.
Love those horns.
Yeah,
so
right?
Good.
It's pretty good. Yeah. I'm super into it. I'm glad that, honestly, I'm thrilled that you guys like it, because I was like, I don't know how to sell Stereo Lab to the people.
I don't want to, like I said, I hate getting ahead of myself, but I mean, you really nailed it for me here. Like, this is right up my fucking alley. This is the sort of shit that I am really into. It's just an almost uninterested French woman.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And yo, just the dudes in front of the stage just staring at her. And she's just like, I truly couldn't be bothered with any of you. And
Have you listened to Kate LeBon ever? Her, I feel like she reminds me of this a little bit, just
you know,
in voice,
what?
But this is a more fun version.
Yeah, I feel like a song here or there, but I haven't, like, I need to, like, dig deeper into whatever it is that she's doing.
I'm in the same way, where it's like there's just a couple songs and then I tried to do a deeper dive and I just wasn't feeling it as much as the it's one of those things where the songs that they gave me to listen to, I was like, you nailed it, and then when I went any deeper I was like, yeah, I don't really need this.
But
this reminded me a lot of a more fun version of that, and I was like, that's exactly, Mug Museum is what I was in too. I think I might have played it on the Patreon recently, but the song Duke reminded me a lot of the vocals that we're hearing here. Also, we were talking about Letitia. Is it Letitia? Is that her name?
Oh yeah, Letitia.
Letitia. Though I was looking up, so as I do with every episode of the show, I look up the band's name and controversy. And the only controversy surrounding this band that I could find. Because there wasn't a whole lot of information. I was trying to find if there's any like deeper dirt on the breakup or anything.
Right,
and
yeah.
And, you know, I didn't want to read any more about the death than I needed to. That just seemed like a bummer. But there was like nothing except for Letitia defended Jordan Peterson. maybe a few years ago or something.
Oh,
and then
Lord.
Took it back. But she did take it back. Yeah. She was just like, I didn't like how people were attacking him for just thoughts. And then she saw that he was like pretty sexist.
Yeah, she's like, oh,
she was like, actually, it took me a little longer to get there than you guys, but yeah, he's not great.
I honestly, I thought that the most controversial thing that she did was she was on Common's album. The album he put out after Like Water for Chocolate. Mm-hmm. Where there's all kinds of, where he's like knee deep in dating Erykah Badu and he had to crochet pants and all of that shit. She's on one of those songs on the album. And I can't remember the name. I forget. It's not Universal Mind. That's another one. But it's something where the cover of it looks like, you know, real Jimi Hendrix-y. He was having a moment. And so she's on one of the songs. And so anytime anyone was just like, man, that album was terrible, I'm like, I mean, it's not all bad, you know. My girl Leticia's on it. She's all right, you know. But it's also a thing, like, if you don't know who her, you that's when I realized, oh, that's how distinctive her voice is. If you didn't know to look for it.
Right.
It's just a slight girl voice singing, but I'm listening to the record like, I don't know about this one. And then that came up and I'm like, holy, why is she here? Who told her? Who told her how to walk onto this album?
Who taught you how to be on a Common album?
Yeah, what's going on?
Easy taught me. that's crazy. I did not know. I did not even come across that. That's so funny.
Exactly.
All right, we got one more song here. Let's hear Motorola Scalatron.
It's catchy.
I love it.
They also
so good.
They like doing things in weird time signatures, which I kind of love a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's also kind of neat. So like half of their stuff just sounds like the Mission Impossible TV theme over and over, you know? And so I'm totally into that. Like, make me work for it.
Yes.
Like, wait, what's happening? Yeah. I want to feel slightly disoriented before I finally realize what's happening.
Yes. Yeah. Make it to where when it starts sounding normal, you're like, yes.
Yeah,
thank you. I recognize that.
I see. Yeah.
I see where you're going now.
Right.
that's the playlist, which means it's time for our we got another segment here.
Ooh.
Which is that we are going to go to the peanut gallery. And as we always do with the Peanut Gallery, if you're on the Patreon, you get your stuff read guaranteed. This week, only one person decided to comment on this, and it was JV said, just chiming in to say Shalewa is hilarious and the War Report rules. Both her podcast and the Capone and Noriega.
Yeah, that's
Noriega.
Funny.
He said, yes, okay.
Oh, I can't wait to tell Gastor that. He'll be very thrilled to know that Capone and Noriega still managed to make it into my stereo lab topic.
If you guys haven't listened to the Gastor episode yet, do it. He did Rap Sidekicks. It was very fun, and he co-hosts the War Report.
He's so passionate about that. I love it. I love it so much. He's so passionate about it. It's great.
He was very passionate. He was great. It was very fun. And it reminded us that we got to get Shalewa back. So that was the best thing he could have done. That was the only Patreon one. But again, if you're on the Patreon, you get bonus episodes every ding dong week. And it's only $3 a month. So get on there. And now we're going to go over to the Facebook, where we got more comments on the Facebook. There were more than I was expecting, which is still not very many, but more than I thought we would get. Sam Evans says, that song from the High Fidelity soundtrack is great. Tyler Jackson says, Stereo Lab is one of my favorite bands of all time. I love how all over the place their sound is, but it's all still uniquely Stereo Lab, from the drone rock stuff to the bossa nova lounge music stuff. So pumped that they released a new compilation last month. I gotta listen to this new compilation because I saw that they have something as of this year. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, it's all just stuff throughout time. So, like, I don't think they've come up with anything really new.
I see.
But it's still, like, they still they churned out so much stuff that you could just, like, yeah, we'll just throw it all on this. Here, we'll give them an Ectafried Plasm something or other, and they'll be happy with it. It's like, okay, thank you.
Ectafried Plasm.
Whatever, there was a lot.
That sounds exactly like it. If it's Is that one? I couldn't tell.
I mean, the album titles in the 90s were really, it was big on Sonic. We used a lot of Sonic stuff. I don't know. Everything was a something Sonic.
Semi-Sonic, Sonic Youth.
Yeah.
Sonic the Hedgehog. They're everywhere.
All over the place. Yeah.
Jay Tanner says, nothing bad to say. Kenny Kynes says, I had the chance to see them in Seattle, but I blew it. You did blow it, Kenny, but they're back. Adam Gilbert says, French Disco, baby.
Oh, yeah. That's another banger of like a just a droney guitar style.
Okay.
Screaming. Yeah.
Drennan Quinn says they're perfect. Joey Dundale says love them. Sounds like music from a better world. Oh, I like that. A better world. I can't imagine one.
I know.
Ben Kim says they took a lot of their sound from the band New, but they did more than just rip it off. Great hypnotic grooves and harmonies, socialist messages sung in a French accent. What more do you need? What more do you need, Tommy? I don't think anybody commented on the Twitter, so I believe that
it did get four likes, though.
That is true, which is weird.
That's something
interesting. Something there. There's interest. Uh-oh. I smell a comment cooking. but that brings us to the end of this episode, which means it's your chance to have your final thoughts on this band. What do you got for us, Shalewa?
Look, we're all just trying to get our lives back, and I feel like what we want to do is go out there guns a-blazing, just like really tear it up, right? And so we want to have a soundtrack that gives us that, but I don't think our nerves are ready for the hardest stuff that you have in your arsenal. I think we need to ease into it, right? And I think Stereo Lab is going to help you ease into being back into the world and amongst the germs again. So that's my selling point, just kind of ease into it, you know, have some weird nonsensical French in your ear, and then everything just looks a little bit brighter, And after a while, you won't even be upset that people aren't wearing masks anymore. you'll be very happy. So that's my final push for Stereolab in this moment in time.
Beautiful. Well put. And I think you're right. Tommy, I'll let you go first. What do you got for Stereolab?
This was great. I listened to it on a long walk today and thoroughly enjoyed it. I liked it so much. I started listening to just shuffling through their albums, which was a little daunting when I looked at the Spotify. I had to like look back and try and figure out which were like the ones I should listen to.
Right.
But,
right.
There's so much there. And like also a lot of like EPs and stuff. I was like, I don't know what to do here, but, I really liked everything I heard. I thought they were awesome. And I'd never listened to it at all, as you could tell. And it also made me rewatch the Zooby Zooby Zoo scene from Batman.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's another point in their favor.
Right.
But I love her voice so much, and the music's super interesting and cool. And yeah, I really loved it. So yeah, I mean, 6 out of 6. It was great.
Great.
Hell yeah. I gotta say, I think this might be my favorite playlist from wow. Something that I didn't know anything about, or maybe just at all. Like this, I think you killed it, Shalewa the Sharpshooter Sharp. Don't miss.
She don't miss.
She don't miss. And I think that you are the Tommy's the Prince of Snarkness. You're the Princess of Stand By Your Band. You've won the show. You're our only 2-time winner of the Battle of the Bands.
Look, when in doubt, put on a swan dress, y'all. Just dress like Bjork at an award show. You're going to win whatever it is you come into.
Well, you killed it on those and you killed it on this. I loved this. 6 out of 6 by far. And I can't wait to listen to more. This was so fun. So that brings us to the end. Is there anything you want to plug, Shalewa? The War Report, obviously.
Yeah, the War Report. You know, that's a thing that I'm doing with Gas Store on my... on my Instagram, on my IG Live, most Sundays, I do a taste testing thing with my roommate, Kevin Socher, and where we just eat snacks for about an hour. And that's been fun and fattening and fun, and really learning the limits of my body. But, and then, you know, just, I guess, when I used to do comedy, there were like a couple of albums I put out. I don't know. I'm out there at some point. But I'm on all social media at Silky Jumbo. So.
Hell yeah.
All one word, traditional spelling.
You got to check Shalewa out. She's just the best. And and check out those podcasts and the podcast and the eating show, all that good stuff. And get on our Patreon, $3 a month. Like we said, we're trying to get to 200 patrons by our 200th episode, which is quickly approaching. It's mid-April. Tommy, you got anything else you want to plug?
Yeah, I'll be I'm doing the stand-up Zoom fundraiser next week that I'll be putting out all the information on my social media soon, so be on the lookout for that. Should be a lot of fun. It's going to be like Sean Donnelly, Kenise Mobley, and Ari Findling are all going to be on it. It's going to be a good time, so be on the lookout for that.
Yes, killer lineup. I'm back on Zoom, baby. I got 2 Zoom shows that I got to promote here. One is a symbol show that I'm doing March 31st. I'm going to try out some new material, and I'd love to see it. The last time we did it was really fun. And I've got Mike Timlin on it. I've got Cameron Gillette. I've got Kelly Collette. Whoa, I didn't realize there were 2 rhymers there. Blair Saki's on it. And Dwight Simmons. And then I'm also going to do a show at the end of April. I got to pick a date, but it's the end of April. My mom is going to do stand-up. My mom's going to try stand-up for the first time. She's been wanting to do it for a long time. And she's mentioned to me several times. And so I decided to finally just set something up for her to do it. So if you're a comic who I know and who is funny, tell me if your mom also wants to do stand up, because I tried to get Tommy's mom. I don't think she's in. I'm trying to get as many as I can because I don't want my mom to be the only one doing this. But end of April, get over there. And Good God's coming back too. So if you're in New York, check that out. All right, but yeah, get on that Patreon and check out Shalewa's stuff. Thank you so much, Shalewa. This was so fun.
Thanks for having me.
Keep it crispy, everybody. Bye.